overhead. Our hearts race back 10 days. On Monday, September 10th, one of our church members left here for family funerals in the United States. He flew from Cairo to New York and then on to Cincinnati. He had just flown out of Cincinnati the morning of September 11th when the 4 airplane disasters took place. He said that when he landed in Madison, the situation was almost surreal. People stood dumbfounded in front of TV monitors. All flights across the nation had been grounded. Shock and horror hung in the air. People were mourning. He said that while he was up in the air, the world had changed. For the last 10 days, our hearts have been torn apart. The world grieves for and with America and her great loss. We also grieve for our own nations and for the many nations that have also suffered loss. Our hearts break for the families that have been torn apart by this sudden disaster. And I think all of us have also realized afresh how vulnerable we are to evil, to destruction, and to possible death. And quite frankly, it's scary. Some here today have been deeply shaken, and perhaps you're one of those that is still very, very troubled inside. We can't help but wonder what is ahead for each of us, for our family, for this region, for the world. But as pain-filled as these 10 days have been, they've also been beneficial. I know that sounds strange to hear me say that. But if you think it through, you'll realize that these 10 days have revealed the powerful, time-tested truth that pain can produce gain. In this case, major pain can, and I believe will, produce major gain. There's a story in the last chapter of the first book of the Bible that took place right here in Egypt 4,000 years ago. As we quickly scan that story of the life of Joseph, I believe that we can see a number of ways that pain brought major gain in his life. And perhaps it will do the same for us today. You could use some encouragement today, couldn't you? I thought so. Joseph, you may recall, was a young, loudmouthed son of Jacob in the Negev. He boasted his superiority over his 11 other brothers. He was his daddy's favorite, and he played that card for all it was worth. Anyone who grows up with brothers or sisters knows that sibling rivalry is very common, especially in the larger human family. Unfortunately, sometimes this rivalry gets way out of hand. Joseph's brothers were so eaten up by his success that they planned his downfall. They stripped him of his multicolored coat and threw him in a pit to die. And after realizing they could actually profit from the process, they sold him to traveling merchants on their way here to Egypt. In Egypt, he was purchased as a slave, but by hard work and faithfulness, he rose to be in charge of his master's business. And then came that fateful day when he refused the sexual advances of the boss's wife. Frustrated with his moral integrity, she framed him, and off he went to prison for 7 long years. Not only was he abandoned by his family, but now after trying so hard to get ahead, he got the short end of the stick and experienced cruel injustice. He tried so hard to do what was right, and he got nailed for it. Now, if you were in his place, if you were in his prison cell, what would you be feeling? Might you be bitter by any chance? How about a desire for revenge? Perhaps intense hatred would be boiling up inside your soul. Somehow, God used those prison years to temper Joseph, to knock off his rough edges, to polish his character. Somehow, out of his intense pain, God was working significant gain. His outer horror enabled his inner healing. His outer poverty yielded riches more valuable than possessions. His great pain was bringing great gain, not the kind that makes a great living, but the kind that makes a great life. 1 year after successfully interpreting dreams for two fellow prison mates, Joseph was summoned by the ruling Pharaoh of his day to interpret his troubling dream. When Joseph did, he was put in charge of designing and administering the 14-year grain program that enabled Egypt to remain economically strong in the midst of devastating regional famine. Because Joseph was saved from social disaster, he was able to save Egypt from social disaster, and Egypt in turn also helped save the surrounding countries as well. When Joseph's brothers heard that there was food in Egypt, they came from Canaan to buy some. Never in their wildest dreams did they ever expect to come face to face with the teenager they had mistreated and abused so many years before. Never could they have imagined that their kid brother would now be a powerful international diplomat. And when they discovered that Joseph knew who they were scared to death. When their daddy died, they assumed Joseph would then act out his revenge and have them purged from the earth. And so they begged for their lives. They begged for forgiveness. They even offered themselves to be slaves. The text tells us that Joseph looked at those miserable men and he wept. Have you ever looked at someone who hurt you and cried? Not for your own pain, but for theirs. Have you ever looked at your enemy and peeked underneath their hardness, past their wickedness, beyond their power trips, to see their weakness, their brokenness, their lostness, their pain? People who lord it over other people, who purposefully inflict pain on others, are the most empty, hollow, lonely, hurting people on the planet. This past week, a Muslim friend told of the dream she had that surprised her. She said she dreamed of Jesus. She said he was dressed in perfect, radiant white robes, and to her surprise, she said he had green eyes instead of blue. Shock for us Westerners. He was sitting on a curb with his head in his hands. And when she approached him, he lifted his head and she saw that he had tears streaming down his face. And this lady said that she knew in that instant that he was weeping because of the horror and the loss of life that had just taken place in the United States. Dear friends, on September 11th, God wept. God wept for America, and he continues to do so. God also weeps for Afghanistan. God weeps for Palestine, and he weeps for Israel, and he weeps for Egypt, and he weeps for every one of our nations and for all the nations of the world. He weeps for each of us today, for the cruelty and evil we have allowed to darken our hearts and to destroy our lives. Have you ever noticed the miraculous and magnetic power of weeping? People around the world speak many different tongues, but we all weep in the same language. People believe many different things, but we all cry similar tears. People come from a great variety of economic, political, and educational levels, but we all feel the same horrific loss when someone we love is abused or snatched away from us. Dear friends, if only we could see each other's tears and agony and sorrow. When Joseph saw his brothers' fear and pain, he spoke words that ring loud and clear to this day. He said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." What perspective? What insight? What maturity? Joseph did not deny the evil intent of his brothers, and neither do we deny today the evil intent of those who terrorize the world with their hatred and brutality. All evil always exacts a heavy price on those who perpetrate it. God will make sure of that. But here is the good news in all of this horror. No matter how evil, no matter how horrible, no matter how much has been lost and how deep the wound, God can bring gain out of our pain if we will let Him. Thousands of stories are surfacing in the aftermath of the attacks in America of how people are pulling together, giving of themselves, giving of their possessions, giving their blood, giving their life, giving their love. Stories of heroism are lighting up the darkness. Out of pain, people are discovering a depth of relationship, a maturity of community, a wealth of love that they haven't experienced before. Religious and political party lines have dissolved in compassionate hugs and gestures of peace. You know, many people don't want society to go back to how it was before. Isn't it amazing that when our eyes are full of tears, it doesn't really matter if we're wearing the latest fashion or driving the right car? The balance in the bank account loses its significance, as does the best and latest sports statistic. When our security shakes and our world crumbles, we, like Joseph in prison, grow up. We mature. We stop focusing on making a living and we start making a life. We hug our spouse. We grab our kids and we hold them close. We call our parents. We start giving. We start forgiving. We straighten out the priorities of life. We realize, like those people in the building on September 11th, we don't know if we're going to be here an hour from now. There's no guarantees. And so we start to pray. We start to give serious thought to eternal realities. And so, dear friends, our temporary pain produces eternal gain. Let's not fool ourselves. The world is full of people who have evil intentions, and they will always be with us. And sometimes evil will slice into our lives with great pain. But God, did you hear that? But God has other intentions. Good intentions, great intentions. And God's plans overrule and override any evil that can be perpetrated against us. King David declared in the famous 23rd Psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," you ever been there? We're there now. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." It'll be there, but I don't have to fear it. Why? Because you are with me. Two thousand years ago, another terrorist event took place not far from here. an innocent man, a perfectly innocent man, a man who had never sinned once, who never hated, a man who had healed, who had restored lives, who pushed back evil, who taught words of life and showed us how to love, a man who proclaimed himself to be God in flesh. This man was brutally and unjustly murdered. All the evil forces of hell and earth were jumping for joy that day, thinking they'd won the ultimate victory. But God, do you hear it? But God had other plans. 3 days later, the cold cave of death blew open, and Jesus walked out alive. Death had been conquered. Hell had been dethroned. Evil was no longer the ruling enterprise. God took the greatest pain personally and made it the greatest gain for us all. Will you trust with me for September 2001 to become another Easter? Another brand new resurrection? Let's move from death to life. Let's move from pain to gain. Joseph said of his tragedy, "This was allowed for the saving of many lives." Since that day until now, God has not changed. He is always interested in saving lives. He wants to save people today from famine, from destruction, from abuse, from murder, from theft, from false accusations, from persecution, from prejudice, from ridicule. He wants to save us from wasting our lives living for the wrong things. He wants to save us from destroying our marriages and families while pursuing pleasure. He wants to save us from ourselves, for we are often our own worst enemy. And so he allows pain. He doesn't create the pain. Evil creates the pain. But God allows it. And he uses it in our lives to bring about gain, if we will let him. Tragedies like we've lived with for the last 10 days are a major wake-up call to us all. We've been brought face to face with evil. We've been brought face to face with what is ultimately important. We've been brought face to face with the things that need to change in our lives and in our world. God didn't cause the recent tragedies, but he did allow them. He allowed them for the saving of many lives. Dear friends, may your life and mine be some of those that are changed, some of those that are saved for good and forever. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as long as we remain in this world where evil grows, help us not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. May we gain from our pain for your sake, for our sake, and for the sake of this very fragile world. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.